Christmas.
Pittsburgh Section National Council to attend.
Well, I want to be sure that we get Jeff Strauss, not me.
Well, I have a voice like a bull in a china shop. You'll have no trouble with that. What I wanted to ask...
You want another introduction?
Yes, please.
Oh, all right. Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. Respondent, Judge Samuel Strauss, 1960 Beachwood Boulevard, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Interviewers, Rita Lehman and Florence Joseph, April 10, 1984. Jeff Strauss, we know what a highly successful professional career you have enjoyed, and we're most interested in discussing it with you in depth. But for purposes of oral history, we would like to begin at the beginning with your family background and origins. Could we then begin with your grandparents, if we may, with your paternal grandparents? Could you give me their names? Your grandfather's name on your father's side?
I think my father's name is Joseph Strauss.
You don't, you want to go just back as far as your father?
I think, yes.
You prefer not to go into it? All right. And we'll just start with that. Where was your father born?
In Europe.
And where in Europe?
I don't remember.
Uh-huh. And his name was Joseph.
Right.
When did he come to this country, approximately? Do you know that?
Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to recall at this time. I would assume around back to the 1900s.
Uh-huh. Approximately, how old was he? Do you know that?
That I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't recall.
Was he married when he came here?
No. I think he married in this country.
I see. What was his occupation?
He had a clothing business in Tennessee. I was born in Bristol, Tennessee. he went into the real estate business along with the clothing, or after he finally had enough of the clothing business, he was in the real estate business. This all took place down in Bristol, Tennessee, a borderline city, Tennessee and Virginia, the Main Street thing, the dividing line between Tennessee and Virginia.
What made him settle in Bristol? Do you know that?
I don't really know. I think his father, my grandfather, lived in Roanoke for a period of time, but I have very little recollection.
Where was your mother from?
I think my mother was born in New York.
I see. And did she grow up in New York? Did she come south prior to meeting your father? How did that meeting come about?
Well, you see, that was before my time. And it's a little difficult to determine, but as far as I mean, I was born in 1910. And I have two brothers who are now deceased.
You don't recall where your parents met or when they were married?
No, that was before I arrived.
What is her name? Mother's name?
Esther. Her maiden name is Newman. My father's name is Joseph.
And they did settle in Bristol.
They did settle in Bristol.
That's right. And how many children were there then?
Well, I'm not sure just exactly when it began, but I had an older brother, Hyman Strauss, who was a doctor. He was a gynecologist. He practiced in New York for a number of years. And he has a son who's a doctor in New York now. The son is not in New York, but is in Florida. And he also had a daughter who is in New York now. And question.
Yeah, well, you have just one brother?
I have two brothers. Oh, this was the doctor. I had another brother who was a lawyer.
Younger than you?
No, older than I. I was the youngest in the family.
Oh, I see.
He was a lawyer. Mm-hmm. He lived in Knoxville, Tennessee. He married a lawyer in Knoxville, Tennessee a number of years ago, and he practiced down there.
His wife was a lawyer?
Yes.
That was unusual in these days.
And both he and his wife have since deceased.
I see.
And my older brother, of course, has too.
Mm-hmm.
They did have children.
The brother who was a lawyer, his children, his family is in New York or in Florida, he said.
The doctor's children are living in, well, two, one of them is living in Florida, married and has a family.
I see.
He's a eye and ear specialist down there. And my sister married a fella from near Knoxville, Tennessee.
What was your sister's name?
Florence. And they're living in Pompano now. They've retired, and they had children.
So you were the youngest in a family of four.
That's right.
Were you born in Bristol?
Yes.
I see. And your birth date was what?
December the 9th, 1910.
And you only lived in the one city prior to coming to Pittsburgh. You lived in Bristol always?
Yes.
I see. Can you tell us something about your home life and your growing up years? Would you describe it as a patriarchal or a matriarchal household? Who was a disciplinarian? As you think back.
Well, that's not too easy. I wasn't too much of a cut up in those days. It's hard to say, really.
Being the youngest, what was your relationship with your older brothers and sisters?
Well, there was a disparity in ages. Mm-hmm. I was considerably younger than the others, and they all went off to school. And there being no colleges in our town, they were interested in. My oldest brother went to and graduated at Johns Hopkins. The other brother went to the University of Pennsylvania and studied law there, and he became a lawyer. They were all married, and the two brothers are deceased now.
What was the age span, actually? You say there was such a disparity in age.
Well,
and you were the youngest by how many years?
Well, it's a little hard offhand. I mean, I'd have to. My sister would probably be better able to remember that than I would.
Well, yeah. Was religion a factor in your home?
Oh, yes.
Was there a synagogue affiliation?
We had, yes, in our town. My parents were very active in contributing to and participating in a building of a synagogue in Bristol. It was in Bristol, Virginia. It was Bristol, Tennessee, and Bristol, Virginia.
Oh, I see.
At a common main street. But we always managed to have a rabbi there. And as a matter of fact, our rabbi generally would serve an area of perhaps around 25 to 30 miles in a circle, because the smaller towns that were nearby didn't have enough Jewish families.
It's an itinerant rabbi.
Yeah. So we had a rabbi, and we had a synagogue built in Bristol, Virginia. That's across the street, Bristol, Tennessee.
Wasn't that a little confusing?
Line. No, no. No, the dividing line was Bristol, Tennessee, and Bristol, Virginia. But the synagogue happened to be placed on the hillside, on the Virginia side.
And your parents had an active role in it?
Oh, yes, very active.
Was this a conservative synagogue?
Well, it was between the conservative and the orthodox. but I mean the there was not too much of a line in those days, because there was a small Jewish community here in Bristol, and then there was Johnson City 30 miles away, and Kingsport 30 miles another way. It served the entire group, and it was on the Orthodox line, the synagogue.
Were you Bar Mitzvah?
No, yeah, sure.
Did they keep kosher?
Oh, are you kidding? We used to have the food brought in from Knoxville, or if they went out, they came from other prairies. And we had it was an Orthodox synagogue there. Yeah.
What was the economic situation in your early years? Was it comfortable or stressful? How would you describe it?
You mean when I was a youngster?
Yes, in your young, very young years.
Yes, I thought it was comfortable.
Were there any cultural influences in the community or in your home in terms of music, theater, and so on? Did that exist in the country?
Well, there wasn't too much of that existing in a town that size.
Was there any emphasis in your home on this?
Well, I think I took violin lessons, but I never became a violinist. We always had a piano in the house, but I don't recall anyone playing it.
I see.
No.
How would you describe the community of Bristol in your early years? Was there a racial mix in the population?
Well, there were some blacks in the community.
Would you consider it a segregated community in those years?
Well, it was more segregated than it is today, of course. There weren't too many great problems. We always had a black chauffeur who would drive, because my father never drove a car.
Was there a substantial Jewish population, or was it?
Well, there would have to be enough to have a minion, as they referred to it. And what happened was, Bristol was the center. There were nearby communities within a radius of 25 or 30 miles, Johnson City, Tennessee, Kingsport, Tennessee. And these communities, the Jewish community wasn't large enough to support a rabbi there. So what happened was that on the high holidays, they would come into the synagogue in Bristol at that time, and in the surrounding areas from Kingsport as well. Johnson City would have people, or Elizabeth, and these are surrounding communities that had fewer Jewish people than Bristol. But they would all merge for the holiday.
Was anti-Semitism a factor, particularly in Bristol?
Well, no, and we really didn't suffer from that. I mean, we knew our place. There was no contention between the races. I mean, when I was a youngster, went to high school and the other schools, we had friends. What few Jewish people were there, they were friendly, and others as well.
Did it have any particular political emphasis in those years?
No, I don't think the Jewish community was too involved in the political system, because they were a minority group, and none of them that I recall ran for any office in any of the nearby communities.
But yet, the community as a whole, Bristol, would you describe it as a typical southern city in terms of segregation and political affiliation?
Oh, I would say so.
Pretty typical.
Yeah.
You attended elementary school there.
Right.
Was it a segregated school? In terms of blacks?
As I recall, I think in the early years, I think it was. I mean, the blacks had their schools, but yes. I think there wasn't much segregation. I mean, they were segregated.
They were segregated.
Yes.
Was it a good school? Was it a good quality education?
Well, it was the best we had, and we...
you had to have been a good student.
Yes, the best we had. I would say that it was good, yes.
You recall the faculty was pretty qualified?
They seemed to be.
Yeah.
They knew more than I did at that time, that's for sure.
And how about the high school? It was likewise segregated, I guess. If it was a typical...
Yes, I think so, yes. That's my recollection.
Did it have a spectrum of activities in terms of clubs and so on? Did you begin debating groups there?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, I had a little something here somewhere. I got a medal here. That was my first start. You haven't lost anything.
That was in high school?
That was in high school.
Mm-hmm. Interscholastic Literary League, Extension Division. This was given by the University of Tennessee.
Well, that's where the
where it occurred.
That's where the determination was made.
I see. It was a state championship in debate awarded to Sam Strauss, 1923. Is it? Or is it 8? I can't figure it.
I think it's 1928.
Debate.
Yes, that's 1928.
So you started. At an early age.
That's right.
Do you retain any lasting friendships from that period?
Well, you say the thing.
Of course, you've moved from that area.
I moved from that area, and it's been so long that if I were to go into town to run across people that I had seen at that time, I'm sure I haven't changed, but I don't know about them. I don't think I'd even recognize them.
There have been no reunions?
No, there haven't been any that I can recall.
What's your recollection of school discipline as contrasted with today?
Well, it was stricter in those days, as I recall it.
Very likely.
They had certain standards. Now, I mean, everything seems to be open. Everybody does their own thing. There was some relationship. Because of the fact that we were Jewish, we got along well with them in school. But, I mean, when it came to dating and things of that sort, I mean, there wasn't any mixtures at that time. Now, what there is today,
you didn't cross any lines.
Yeah, that's right.
And what were the health services like, kid? Was medical care adequate? Were there hospitals and clinics?
You mean in the area?
In Bristol, yes.
Well, they're not comparable, certainly, to what you have in a great city like Pittsburgh today.
Yeah.
But they had a hospital in the town. They had doctors in the town. And, we all came out of there.
You were born in a hospital then.
Yeah, probably so.
We come now to the adolescent years. What activities were there? Were you involved in any community activities?
Where, in Bristol?
Yes, uh-huh. In terms of athletics or Jewish youth groups?
No, there weren't enough. I mean, we might play ball together. We were friendly. The families were friendly, but I mean, there wasn't enough to have any real activity.
There was no Jewish community center, for instance.
No, not in the sense that you have it here at all. Mm-hmm. No.
Did you continue on with debating?
When I went to Pitt.
Well, that, of course, will come to in just a little while. Did your interest in law surface in in high school years, or did that come later?
Well, I think my interest in law actually came later. My brother, who was a lawyer in Tennessee, in Knoxville, Tennessee, that is, and married, his wife was a lawyer also. Mm-hmm. And so I had the urge to become a lawyer. And
but you modeled after your brother, who was a lawyer, rather than your brother, who was a doctor.
Well, that's right.
So you must have had some predisposition. What about, did the Depression affect your family severely? Do you have any recollection of that, Jess Strauss?
Well, it did. The Depression, I think, came along after I left.
After you left
Tennessee.
Oh, I see.
That's right. As far as I can remember, it was after that.
I see. What brought you to the University of Pittsburgh?
Well, I had seen pictures of a cathedral of learning that looked fascinating to me.
I see.
And when I came up to Pittsburgh, I made application, and I came up to see what the cathedral of learning was like. I went to, the first night I stayed at I went to the Jewish Community Center there. I found out about that, but they didn't have anybody. They sent me up to Webster Hall to spend the night, and then the next day I was to go down and register at the University of Pittsburgh. And I asked, and this is actually what happened, I asked one of the fellows in the hotel at Webster Hall, where I stayed overnight, where the university or the cathedral of learning was, and he pointed down the street, a block to my left. And then when I went down, there was a hole in the ground there. That's the truth. There was no cathedral there at all. As a matter of fact, I never attended a class in the cathedral of learning. It was all on the hill. And even law school, that was at the Chamber of Commerce building when I went there.
What dates were you in undergraduate school?
Well, actually, you've got me now. I don't really recall. Wait, it would be about, I went there in 1928, I think it was. Hmm. And
would have been 28, too.
Yeah, that's when I entered.
I see. What was your major as an undergraduate?
I don't really recall at this time. I do know that I was interested in debating and became a member of the debating team at the university and traveled all over the country on several occasions where we met schools from the east to the west coast back in those days.
Did you belong to any club or fraternity?
Yes, I was a member of Phi Epsilon Pi fraternity.
I guess your social life centered around that pretty much then.
Well, it did, of course. That's how I first became with the community.
Well, then Depression years must have been at about this period.
Well, yeah, they came along. They followed me up here, that's for sure.
Well, was it difficult to finance your education then?
Well, what happened was this. When I got through the undergraduate school, the real crisis was in the matter of going to law school. While I was at Pitt, I handled the part of buying, fraternity buying, for the Phi Epsilon Pi fraternity. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember what it was I got, but I got something out of that. And then when I went to graduate school, things were really rough. I went into the Dean of Men's office and set up a cooperative buying association for all of the fraternities.
You were very enterprising.
Well, it was necessary in those days. And what we did was to... I had a certain amount that I could get out of it. The purpose was to centralize the buying of the multitude of pit fraternities that were there. And as a result of that, the fraternities got wholesale prices. I worked out of the Dean of Men's office. They gave me a desk there, and because they were concerned, too, that the fraternities got the best deals on food and so forth. And I had a limitation, as I recall it, at this time. I think I'd set the limit myself that I could only earn approximately $125 a month.
That was a lot then.
Yeah, well, that's right. No, I'm not complaining. That was enough to keep me going. And, I mean, the reason for that, so that there would never be any contention or question with somebody making money on the side. It wasn't that. I had the... I worked under Dean Lanter, I mean, when he was the dean, and then Ted Biddle. I mean, I had an office there in the... and when the cathedral... that I never attended, the cathedral was there. I think it had just been finished, too, when I was working this business with the fraternities.
And your graduate school dates followed immediately upon the undergraduate school. It was continuous.
That's right.
So, at what date did you graduate, then? Do you recall that?
Well, it must have been about 1932, I guess.
Hmm. Did you belong to any professional fraternities?
No professional. Oh, there was a forensic fraternity, I think. But there was one.
So you had no grants of any kind. It was this work that you did that helped.
That's right.
Grants.
Yeah.
I see. Well, then you decided to remain on in Pittsburgh after that?
Yes, that's right. I went to law school at the Chamber of Commerce building downtown.
How long was law school in those days?
Well, it was the same as it is now. I mean, it...
I know medical school has changed, and
it was a three-year...
It was 3 years.
3 years, yes.
Oh, I see.
At that time.
And then did you do an internship with...
Yes. I worked with Lou Fuchsian in his office for a period of time. And...
when did you pass the bar exam? Recall
that? Well, it must have been about 19. Well, I mean, we'll have to add the things together. It would have had to have been after 3 years. After 3 years on top of the school.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have. I presume around 1935, somewhere around.
You had no further academic background then after law school. That was it. Although I did read that you attended a school for prosecutors at Northwestern.
Yes, that's right.
That was the summer of 1950.
Yeah, that was when I was in the district attorney's office.
I see.
Under Rawhauser.
What determined your remaining here in Pittsburgh?
Well, I like Pittsburgh.
That's a good reason.
I spent a lot of time here. I liked the work that I was doing. And it seemed to me to be a city that would be great if they cleared this up the smoke, which
they
have
did.
Done, yes. And that was my interest at that time.
Jeff Strauss, before we explore your distinguished professional career, or prior to your Army experience, could we deal here with your personal life, with your marriage? You met your wife here in Pittsburgh?
Mm-hmm.
And what was her maiden name?
Cut this machine off right for a minute here. Bandel, of course.
Bandel. It was Audrey Van Bell, right?
Right.
Uh-huh. And she was a native.
Right.
How did you meet? Do you remember that?
Oh, I presume it was some fraternity function.
That sounds logical.
That we met.
And could you tell us something about her background in education?
Well, she didn't. She wasn't blessed with the. I mean, at that time, I mean, when I met her, things weren't. Business was not too good. She studied music. She loved music. She didn't get a degree anywhere, but.
And she is an accomplished musician. There's
no question about that, and a very bright gal.
And her family was in business here?
Yes, they had a furniture store on Forbes Avenue, the Carlton Shop.
And